We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G, $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money, more money, more money.
And right now, get a G.
Bail is the code word. You have up until 5 o'clock to text the word bail, B-A-I-L, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. We're doing it at the top of every hour from 8 through 5 o'clock. And the last one here for this hour is bail, B-A-I-L. Text bail to 72881. Good luck. And if you miss a word, you can go to the 92.9 app. That's the radio.com app, and use the rewind feature. If you want to go back, if you miss a word, you can do that. And our next word is coming up tomorrow morning with Golic and Wingo at 8 o'clock.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Gary Parish, I'm speaking to you from the corner of 54th and Broadway in the Theater District, New York City. Brad Carson back in Memphis producing a program. Glad he's with me, glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions.
Most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding
ring. And I hope to God you didn't give up on Ed Orgeron at all. Like, even after he went 3-21 in SEC games at Ole Miss. Or LSU as recently as last night when they were down 17-7 because the best team in college football established itself as the best team in college football in the second quarter and then, relatively speaking, cruised to a 42-25 victory inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So now LSU is your 15-0 national champion, and people are talking about it as if it's one of the greatest college football teams of all time. I'm not sure if that's true, if only because I just don't know, but I can tell you it is one of the most accomplished, if not the most accomplished, college football team of all time. There's a lot of numbers to back that up. We'll go through them momentarily, but first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Dennis Dodd covers college football for CBS Sports. He was inside the Superdome last night for LSU's win over Clemson. He's going to join me around 425 from Bourbon Street. We'll catch up with Dennis Dodd. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 444, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Grizzlies are back inside FedEx Forum tonight. Former MVP Russell Westbrook is not playing, but former MVP James Harden is playing. He's leading the NBA in scoring, averaging 37.7 points per game, on his way to a third straight scoring title. We'll get you ready for Grizz Rockets around 444. Precious Achiuwa, honored today by the United States Basketball Writers Association. He is the Freshman of the Week. Nice honor for the first-year Tiger. Get into that a little later on this hour. The way-too-early college football rankings are starting to publish. I'll tell you where the Tigers are ranked a little later on this hour. And Zion Williamson made headlines last night for a not great reason. My man appeared, Brad Carson, appeared to fall asleep on the sideline. Now, it was a Pelicans-Pistons game, so, like, you know, I get it. Yep. But still, not a great look for the rookie who is expected to maybe, just maybe, make his debut later on this week. I'll tell you about that during Four Notable Stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, at 5:30. Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated going to join me. He has the SI cover story on LSU's win over Clemson. I'll talk to him 5:30, and then I will do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with what else? College football's national title game. It was played last night inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome down in New Orleans. As I'm sure you know by now, LSU beat Clemson 42-25. Fell behind 17-7, but outscored Clemson 35-8 in the final 40 minutes of game time. So they end up winning pretty comfortably. Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow was awesome. He threw the ball 49 times, completed 31 of them, and those 31 completions led to 463 yards of passing and 5 touchdowns. He also ran for another score, so he had a hand in all 6 of LSU's touchdowns. He was tremendous, just as he's been all season. The win for LSU snapped Clemson's 29-game winning streak, dealt Trevor Lawrence the first loss of his college quarterbacking career, and now, like I mentioned, some people are making the case that LSU is not just a great team in this season, but an all-time great team, perhaps even the greatest. Brad Carson, you tell me, is this LSU team an all-time great team?
It appears so. That's the only thing I can say after kind of reading about it and listening to people talk about it on the radio. Watching that team, I think they're probably in that conversation.
I guess they got to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how to properly compare a great LSU team in this moment to a great Nebraska team from once upon a time, or a great Florida team from once upon a time, or a great Florida State team, or a great Alabama team. Although in most sports, not all people, but I think most smart people acknowledge that the further we get into time, the better the teams tend to be, because the players, the humans, are bigger, stronger, faster than they've ever been. Like Steve Kerr is a member of those great Chicago Bulls teams, and he sort of laughs at the idea that there's no way these great Golden State Warrior teams that he's coached couldn't beat the Chicago Bulls. He's like, you know, and everything else, people, we acknowledge that, I mean, just focus on Major League Baseball. The pitchers have never been better.
Right.
The hitters have never been better. Yeah. The fielders have never been better.
Right.
I mean, it used to, you grew up watching Ozzie Smith.
Sure.
You know, and it was like amazing. Yeah. Ozzie Smith makes all these plays.
Yeah.
Now every shortstop makes all those plays.
They all do that,
They can all do it. I mean, not all, but like lots.
The major leaguers, yes.
You know, if somebody threw 98 30 years ago, it was like, oh my God. Like, now everybody throws 98.
Yeah.
Like the middle relievers come in and hit 100. So, like, baseball, everybody is bigger, stronger, faster, better. Everybody tends to accept that as a fact. And I think it's true in most sports, if not all sports. I know basketball players have never been, you know, bigger, stronger, well-conditioned, more skilled. You know, people like to talk about, these players aren't that skilled. They're more skilled than basketball players used to be. Like, go watch, film from the 70s and then, you know.
Celtics and Lakers teams were not athletes. I mean, they were good and they were athletes, but they weren't this, right?
There's always Magic Johnson, and there's always Michael Jordan, and there's always Wilt Chamberlain, and there's always Shaq. Like, these generational talents that would be awesome in any time. But the NBA hasn't always been an international sport. Now it is. It used to be, like, the NBA once upon a time, it was like, you had to be one of the best players in America, and then you were in the NBA. Now you had to be one of the best players in the world, in a world where many countries are teaching basketball and studying basketball at a very early age. So I think you could make a lot of arguments to say basketball in the NBA has never been played at a higher level than it's being played right now. Therefore, a great Golden State team from 2 years ago would have probably done just fine against whatever great Michael Jordan Bulls team. And if we, apply that logic to baseball and to basketball, I don't know why we wouldn't apply it to football as well and assume that if LSU is the best team in the country right now, it by definition has to be considered one of the best teams of all time because, you know, the athletes are just bigger, stronger, faster. Either way, we can have that debate another time. Here's what's not debatable. LSU is one of the most accomplished teams ever.
Yeah.
You want to debate best? That's fine. This is not up for debate. LSU is one of the most accomplished college football teams of all time, if not the most accomplished college football team of all time. Finished 15-0. beat seven top 10 teams based on where the teams were ranked when the games were played. That's the most in college football history. The list of accomplishments looks like this. 45-38 win at number 9, Texas. 42-28 win over number 7, Florida. 23-20 win over number 9, Auburn. 46-41 win at number 3, Alabama. 37-10 win over number 4, Georgia. 63-28 win over number 4, Oklahoma. 42-25 win over number 3, Clemson. 7 wins over top 10 teams. If you go by where the teams were ranked at the time the game was played, nobody in college football had ever done that before. They become LSU, first team to ever beat all 4 preseason top 4 teams in the same season. And if you go by the final AP poll, the AP poll that was published earlier today, LSU has wins over number 2 Clemson, number 4 Georgia, number 6 Florida, number 7 Oklahoma, number 8 Alabama, number 14 Auburn, number 25 Texas. I mean, just,
wow.
They didn't sneak into anything.
Right.
They lined up against the best teams in the country, and they won every time without exception. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow set Division I records for touchdown passes. He threw 60. Nobody had ever done that. He was responsible for 65 touchdowns. That's also a record. Nobody had ever done that. Also set NCAA Division I record for completion percentage and passer rating. He threw for 5,671 yards this season. It's the most in SEC history. And he became just the 9th quarterback in history to win the Heisman Trophy and a national title in the same season. Back to LSU. Only team in Division I history to have a 5,000-yard passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, and two 1,500-yard receivers in the same season. They scored 726 points this season. It's the most in AP poll history. They scored 40 points. They scored at least 40 points 12 times. That's tied for the most in AP poll history. And I know some of this is because we're playing more games than we used to, but still, the numbers are the numbers. So it's obviously difficult, if not impossible, to compare teams and players from different eras. I acknowledge that. But there are a lot of numbers available that suggest LSU is the most accomplished team in college football history, and thus one of the best, perhaps even the best. And you can make a case that Joe Burrow just had the best season any college football player has ever produced. Truly incredible stuff. And yet, I still think the story is probably Ed Orgeron, the 58-year-old son of Baba and Coco Orgeron.
That is their real name.
That's what Wikipedia says.
Baba and Coco. I heard people were knocking on Coco's door like before the game. You can figure that out now.
Why wouldn't you?
You gotta wish her good luck in the game. Okay, congrats.
Ed Orgeron wins a national title as the head coach at LSU in a national title game played in Louisiana, the state in which he was born and raised. I mean, it's an unreal story. This is a man who, as you all know, went 3-21 in SEC games in 3 years as the head coach at Ole Miss. Got fired. And still got this opportunity against all odds to be the head coach at LSU when most people outside of the person who hired him didn't think he deserved the job, didn't think he'd do well at the job. And yet he's killing it. He won a national championship in year 4. It's a remarkable story. And I'm not an LSU fan. I'm not anti-LSU either. I'm just not an LSU fan. And I don't know that I'm really an Ed Orgeron fan either. I don't guess. But I am a fan of remarkable stories. And the Ed Orgeron story is a remarkable story. Like, I really don't think there's a parallel in college coaching history to bomb as badly as he bombed in his first job. You know, when you go 3-21 in SEC games in 3 years and get fired at Ole Miss, the odds of you ever becoming an SEC head coach again just aren't good. But in a little bit of right place, right time, Louisiana roots, support from the players, when Les Miles gets fired, they promote him to interim. And then, don't ever forget this, they tried to hire other people.
Right, yeah.
Like, if they could have hired Tom Herman,
they
wanted to.
Yeah.
But they get turned down by a couple of people, and then they decide to make Ed Orgeron the head coach at at LSU. And I don't remember exactly what I said about it, but I'm sure I was doing a radio show and I had to say something. I don't remember the exact words. In fact, I don't even remember it at all. But I think it's safe to assume I laughed at it. I mocked it. I know subsequently, in his first couple of years, I can remember having a conversation, you know, talking about, you know, if you looked at the college football playoff in this particular year, it was like Nick Saban, Urban Meyer. I remember Chris Peterson being in there. And I just remember saying, this is not an accident that these are the men who are running the best football programs in America. They're all sharp, undeniably intelligent people. They're not just football coaches. I probably went as far to say not just meathead football coaches. Mm-hmm. These are smart men running football programs. And that seems to be mostly what you need to have these days to ever reach the top of the sport. And I specifically said, that's why Ed Orgeron will never get you where you want to go. I apologize to all my LSU fans, but that's not the guy that's going to get you where you want to go. You telling me that guy is going to be the guy that gets past Gus Malzahn at Auburn, Nick Saban at Alabama? Like, that's the guy that's going to actually win you a national championship by beating everybody you have to beat to do that? Ed Orgeron? The guy with the funny Hummer commercial? That ain't it. It won't work. He might do fine, but he'll never get you where you want to go. And yet, he did. He gets him to a national championship game, and then he wins the national championship game. And the idea that you can have a reasonable conversation in the year 2020 about the coach of arguably the greatest college football team of all time being Ed Orgeron is something that would have made no sense to anybody. Certainly the day he got fired at Ole Miss, but as recently as a year ago, it wouldn't have made much sense to me. Although he did win 10 games last season, and to his credit, has gotten better every year. 6 wins in 2016, 9 in 2017, 10 in 2018, and then 15-0 this season at LSU. His career record now at LSU is 40-9 in 4 seasons. It's an amazing thing because, again, this wasn't just somebody who bombed in the job. He had at Ole Miss. This is somebody who bombed in that job and then got turned into a cartoon character by me and people who have jobs like me. Everybody, I guess, could have slightly different opinions on Ed Orgeron, what he is as a football coach, what he will do at LSU. But I don't think anybody predicted this, like anybody, except for maybe Ed Orgeron. And he does it, you know, in part because, yes, he enrolled what appears to be a generational talent at quarterback in Joe Burrow, although it's also a Joe Burrow who couldn't win a starting job at Ohio State. And yes, some of this is that he hired a 30-year-old, at the time 29-year-old, whiz kid in Joe Brady, who modernized the offense and allowed it to set NCAA records in this season with Joe Burrow. But, like, as far as I'm concerned, you get credit for that. Like, hiring smart people and enrolling great prospects is like part of being a head coach. In fact, you could argue it's the most important part of being a head mm-hmm. coach. It's the most important part of the job. And it's not easy to hand over the keys to something that is technically yours in the way that Ed Orgeron did when he hired Joe Brady and decided, let's take this offense and make it as modern as we can make it, spread it out, and try to go outscore people at LSU through the air. And evidence that it's not easy to do that is because people begged Les Miles to do it, and he was too stubborn to do it. That's not the way I want to play football. Okay, well, do you like your job? Because if you like your job, you need to adapt. Les Miles never did. Ed Orgeron, to his credit, clearly did. And yeah, Joe Brady is getting a lot of the credit. And Joe Burrow is getting a lot of the credit. And they deserve a lot of the credit. You could reasonably argue that without Joe Burrow and without Joe Brady, Ed Orgeron is never standing on that stage in New Orleans the way he was standing on that stage last night. But as long as Ed Orgeron is comfortable with it, then who cares? And I think he's comfortable with it. Who cares? If people want to say that I wouldn't be here without the 30-year-old offensive genius and the Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback, that's fine. They're probably right. But I am here. And I'm here because I was smart enough to recruit the quarterback, and I was smart enough to hire the 29-year-old. I mean, just think about how hard that must be for, you know, a 58-year-old to hire a 29-year-old and then say, kid, I don't even need to know what you're doing. Just go do your thing. That's why I hired you. And then to watch the 29-year-old become a 30-year-old and start to become a big part of the LSU story, where people are giving him just as much credit in some cases as the head coach. Not every head coach would be comfortable with that. Honestly, I'm not sure if I were Ed Orgeron, I would be comfortable with that. We all have egos to some degree. But the idea that Ed Orgeron is comfortable with that and was willing to do it is why he's now a national champion. And he's gone from an absolute punchline in the sport to the guy running, at least in this particular year, the best program in the sport. A guy who just completed one of the great seasons in the history of college football. Bottom line, last night was the final piece of an incredible football story. LSU gambles on one of its own. Hires Ed Orgeron in a move that seemed destined to fail. Instead, it's a massive success, largely because Coach O got Joe Burrow to transfer from Ohio State to LSU. Then Coach O hired a 29-year-old offensive genius. And then he got out of the way. And then he won a national championship in his fourth season. Win total, like I said, it's gone up each season. He's now 40-9 as LSU's head coach. So you can still laugh at his voice if you want to. But you cannot laugh at his career anymore. Ed Orgeron is a national championship winning head coach forever and always. CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd was inside the Superdome last night to witness LSU's win over Clemson. I'm going to talk to him about it next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the
Grizzlies are back inside FedEx Forum tonight. Former MVP Russell Westbrook will not be playing for the Rockets, but former MVP James Harden is. He's leading the NBA in scoring, averaging 37.7 points per game. That's 7.9 points more than anybody else. We'll talk Grizz Rockets in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me at 5 o'clock. But right now, he covers college football for CBS Sports. He was inside the Superdome for last night's LSU victory over Clemson. It's Dennis Dodd. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Dennis Dodd, if I would have told you many years back that one day you will be writing a column on the night of a national championship game that makes the case that the national champion is a team coached by Ed Orgeron and might be one of the greatest championship football teams in history, could you have ever imagined that really happening?
No. September, the fifth game of his first season, September of 2017, LSU lost to Troy at home. And I remember flying from Virginia Tech to Baton Rouge for that Monday press conference thinking, he may not make it through the week. I mean, that was the vibe. Since then, they're 32-5, obviously 15-0 this year. Greatest single season maybe in history, best player maybe in history, and for at least 1 year, considering what he's done, the best single season coaching job in history.
Now they got 7 wins over top 10 teams. If you go by where the ranking was at the time of the game, that had never happened before in college football history. We could debate best or second best or top 5. I think you could make a strong case and please disagree if you do. You can make a strong case that they are the most accomplished college football team of all time.
Look, they're 15-0. The only other team in the modern era to go 15-0 was Clemson last year. The last team to win more games was the University of Chicago in 1899, and they beat four high school teams. That ought to tell you something. No, I think, look, the numbers bear it out. Joe Burrow, first quarterback ever to lead the country in pass accuracy, 5,600 yards, 60 touchdowns, my favorite stats from last night. Joe Burrow this season averaged a touchdown pass every quarter this season. Every quarter, on average, he threw a touchdown pass.
Absolutely unbelievable. I had somebody tweet me overnight, and obviously you're on Twitter. You know, opinions come from everywhere. Some of them are solid, some of them not so much. But somebody said, let's not celebrate Coach O just yet. This is his Gene Chizik season. In other words, the implication being he had a generational quarterback like Gene Chizik once had in Cam Newton, rode it to a national championship, and he'll get back to being Coach O just as soon as next season. Is there any truth to that?
No, because, look, he recruited Joe Burrow.
Sure.
It got him to transfer, changed the offense, got Joe Brady, made up his mind, we're going to go spread RPO, which had never been done before. Remember the biggest criticism of Les Miles? You got these magnificent athletes at running back and the receiver. You don't have a quarterback. They have a quarterback. Last two recruiting classes have been top five. They're going to be good. They're going to compete in the SEC. And if you compete in the SEC, you're going to compete on a national level. Will they ever go 15-0 again? I don't know. Probably not. But LSU is whatever back means is back.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. He was inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome last night for LSU's victory over Clemson. If Les Miles would have hired Joe Brady or the equivalent of Joe Brady once upon a time, do you think he's still the coach at LSU?
No. And I say that, and I love Les, and I say that with all honesty. Look, Les Miles was never going to convert whole hog to the spread RPO. That's why that was such a big story this year. He had Michigan, LSU, and USC, traditional places that were very physical, ran the ball on offense, all committed to it. USC was successful, at least committing to it. Yardage-wise, he didn't have a great season. LSU was successful. Michigan almost won 10 games again, so it can be done. But I think Les is still rooted in his philosophy. And it happened a little bit at Kansas this year. And Kansas is a good program. But they did improve to 3-1. But I wouldn't call them, you know, a radical spread RPO thing. So I don't think this happens because, look, Les Miles doesn't get Joe Brady because Les Miles doesn't say, we're going to go in with both feet to the spread RPO. Wouldn't happen.
What does Joe Brady's future look like?
Well, he just reportedly signed an extension on Saturday that doubles his salary from $410,000 a year. Excuse me, I just stepped off Bourbon Street going to the airport. One last look. Just got a new deal with LSU. It doubles his salary, but gives him an out to go to the NFL. I think that's his next step. You already, and it may happen now. It may happen soon. You already hear Matt Rhule being interested. There are a couple of others. I think he'd be a great fit with Matt Rhule with the Panthers. But I think his future's in the NFL. You know, how soon, you know, again, are you going to have a Joe Brady, or Joe Burrow, excuse me, in this situation? You know, you're going to have elite athletes every week in the NFL. And look, he's only 30 years old. He's got 30 or 40 years left in his career. What a future.
They're talking to Dennis Dodd. He is in New Orleans on Bourbon Street after last night's championship game between LSU and Clemson. Listen, it would have been an incredible story, LSU, Coach O winning a national championship under any circumstances. What was it like them doing it in New Orleans? It just seemed like the perfect setup. I gather it was about as wild of a quote-unquote neutral field situation as you'll ever see.
No, and so how, I don't know what the word is, serendipitous, that LSU has played for four national championships in the BCS era and all four have been at the Superdome. It was pure unadulterated joy. I mean, I got out of there at 3 a.m., so I didn't see anything on the street. But you can imagine what it was like. In on the field, in the locker room, the players were smoking cigars. Against the law, they were told, screw you, we're smoking cigars. Odell Beckham caught on tape handing out cash to players on the sideline. Now, LSU contends it was fake money, that's how I'm writing it for now, but it was absolutely nuts. It was Cajun. It was Bayou. These people are so happy. They're just such a happy people, and they love LSU. It's kind of neat to see it happen.
I'm wrapping up here with Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go, Dabo had lost games before. Clemson's obviously lost games before. Trevor Lawrence had never lost a game as a college football starting quarterback. How did he handle that adversity for the first time last night?
Well, that's anybody, how would you feel if you lost in high school? He looked devastated. You know, it's like, wow, we didn't win this again.
Remember, they were up 17-7. You know, you could say they blew this game. In the second quarter, they were in control. It looked like they were the better team. In the second quarter, Jerry, LSU ran up 269 yards on, I'm trying to think, 26 plays. And they were on pace for 700 yards. They ended with 628. And this game turned in the second quarter. Three touchdown drives, totaling, mind you, 15 plays, 232 yards in a combined 5 minutes and 8 seconds. Trevor Lawrence looked like the guy that had been hit in the face with a frying pan. You know, he wasn't good, but LSU was very good.
That is Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. Make sure you're reading him over at CBSSports.com, watching him on CBS Sports HQ. Thank you for being here, buddy. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Gary.
All right, that's Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the NBA, specifically the Memphis Grizzlies. Back inside FedEx Forum, trying to extend a winning streak against the Houston Rockets. James Harden is playing. Russell Westbrook is not playing. We'll talk Grizz Rockets next. If you want to own a vehicle you'll love and deal with a family-owned business that treats people like people, not like customers, please go visit my friends at Mercedes-Benz of Memphis, 5389 Poplar. That's 5389 Poplar on the web, mbofmemphis.com. I've told you before, I'm not just a spokesperson for Mercedes-Benz of Memphis. I'm also a Mercedes owner. That means I'm speaking with experience here. It means I've got a vehicle that rides great, that looks great, but is also... yeah, super safe. Because when you buy a Mercedes-Benz from Mercedes-Benz of Memphis, you're purchasing 100 years of innovation in safety. I've got three children, so that is important to me. It is among the reasons I have a Mercedes. It is, yes, a luxury vehicle. I understand that. But in some cases, it's actually more affordable, a Mercedes is, than you might realize. The new A-Class model, for instance, it starts at just $32,000. Yes, you heard me right. You could have a brand new Mercedes from Mercedes-Benz of Memphis starting at just $32,000. And some leases are as low as $339 a month for 26 months. So $5,389 is the Poplar. Stop by and check out the AMG showroom while you're there. The AMG models are high-performance machines. They are awesome. You'll love them. Go check them out. AMG showroom at Mercedes-Benz of Memphis, our city's original Mercedes dealership, on the web, mbofmemphis.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. It's filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it, Cowboy Carson?
It is so smooth you can drink it straight.
It's been a while. You ever miss doing that?
I do, actually. I think about it every afternoon when I'm listening. I'm like, man, I used to be the guy that said, it's so smooth you can drink it straight.
You know. Maybe I'll call you every once in a while. I'll just ask you if you can tell me how smooth it is, and then you can tell me it's so smooth you can drink it straight. And then we just get on with our
game. Get on with it, right.
It really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. Do you know how silly it is to pay nearly twice as much for another bottle when New Amsterdam is awesome and available? It's super duper silly, so don't do that. Just grab a bottle or a case of New Amsterdam vodka. It's the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodkas, they offer a variety. And if you're on a gluten-free diet, New Amsterdam does have a gluten-free vodka. Ask for it by name. Next time you are in a restaurant, bar, or a wine and spirit store, New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, talk LSU Clemson with him. Then Ross Dellinger, who has the cover story right now, SportsIllustratedSI.com, on LSU's win over Clemson. He's going to join me around 5:30. I'll talk LSU Clemson with him. But right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The Memphis Grizzlies are back inside FedEx Forum tonight for a Western Conference showdown with those evil Houston Rockets led by James Harden, former MVP. He's averaging 37.7 points per game.
Clowny numbers. That's crazy.
I mean, he's awesome. Like, I know he's a divisive player in the sense that not everybody is a fan of the way he plays the game. Some people think he tries to draw fouls as opposed to score. Some people get bored with the ISO stuff. Chris Paul famously got bored with the ISO stuff. Yeah. But if you, like, you can make an argument that nobody has ever been as great at what he does as James Harden is at what he does. Like, now, you can say, yeah, but I don't like what he does, and I acknowledge that's a real and fair opinion. But just, you know, if the goal is to put the ball in the basket, however, and do it in creative ways without passing, he's really, really exceptional at that. So I actually enjoy watching James Harden play, even if I know not everybody does. Still, though, the story is not James Harden. The story is the Memphis Grizzlies. Five-game winning streak thanks to a whole lot of things, but brilliant, continued brilliant play from Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. If you look at the NBA standings right now, the Rockets are 26-12 percentage points ahead of the Clippers for fourth place in the West, and the Grizzlies are 18-22 percentage points ahead of the Spurs for eighth in the West. And so, you know, tonight will be the halfway point. You know, after tonight, we will be 41 games into an 82 game season. So I feel like we've said it 50,000 times at this point, perhaps because we have, but this is a real playoff race. You know, I don't know where it's going to end up. The computers still think it will end up with the Grizzlies operating outside of the playoff picture, but I wouldn't worry about that at all if I were a Grizz fan, because you've got meaningful basketball games in January. When we open the season, honestly, most people assume, myself included, that by January 14th, yeah, we'd still be interested watching Ja Morant develop and Jaren Jackson Jr. develop, but the idea that we'd be watching a team that is in the playoff picture, that seemed unlikely, and yet here we are. So my advice is the same advice I gave you last week and the week before that. Enjoy it, because it is awesome. You have a professional basketball team being led by two 20-year-olds, and the two 20-year-olds might actually lead it into the playoffs. That is not a normal thing. 20-year-olds don't lead teams anywhere in the NBA almost ever. And yet Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., at least through 40 games, are doing it. We'll see what happens in game 41 tonight. It tips at 7 o'clock. You should listen to it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, because Eric Hasletine is tremendous. But if you want to watch it, it is on NBA TV, so it's a rare Grizzlies national television appearance. And I do think that's worth something, because the truth is, unless you have league pass or you live outside or you live inside the Memphis market, you don't watch the Grizzlies. You see Ja Morant highlights, but you don't watch them play. So tonight, for casual sports fans or NBA fans that don't have league pass, it's an opportunity to actually watch the Grizzlies play a game. Not just watch Ja Morant highlights or look at a Grizzlies box score, but watch the Grizzlies play a game. And the fact that they've been playing well on a five-game winning streak is all good stuff. So I'll be in studio here in New York talking about college basketball, but I promise you, we got 10 TVs in that studio, and I will put in a special request. Can we get Rockets Grizzlies on one of them, please? Rockets are a 5-point favorite. The total's 239.5. Again, tip is scheduled for 7 o'clock. You can listen right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Story number two.
Nice honor for Precious Achiuwa, the five-star freshman at the University of Memphis, the one who continued to play with the team, not the one who quit the team. He was named the United States Basketball Writers Association Freshman of the Week, and he is now the first two-time recipient of the Freshman of the Week honor this season. So that does not, by the way, mean that he's the leading candidate for National Freshman of the Year. Right. Vernon Carey is the leading candidate for National Player of the Year because he's got incredible numbers and he's doing it for a team that is ranked number one at KenPom, number three at in the AP poll. And on this real quick, on Duke and just college basketball in general, there's a narrative connected to the sport right now that's, you know, possibly accurate, that there's no great teams in the sport, right? That we've had number one teams consistently lose. Like, you know, there's a bunch of good teams, but there's no great team. Duke is really one possession away from being undefeated and considered a great team. Like, if Trey Jones in overtime against Stephen F. Austin hits a runner instead of turns it over, which leads to the Stephen F. Austin bucket at the buzzer to win the game, then Duke would be sitting here right now undefeated. Now, they would still have a close loss to Stephen F. Austin, but, you know, we don't really get caught up in that too much. It would still be a win. Duke would be 16-0. They would have the best computer numbers in the country because they have them even at 15-1, and they would be led by Vernon Carey, who has been an absolute monster, and we would be talking about Duke as, you know, as a great team in this season. And how wild is it that Mike Krzyzewski lost three top 10 picks, four of his top four starters, and still restocked it in a way that has Duke the favorite to win the national championship? Because they took that loss to Stephen F. Austin, they're not quite viewed the same way, but that's still a really good team led by an incredible freshman, Vernon Carey. But Precious Achiuwa is also an incredible freshman, averaging now 15.6 points, 10.4 rebounds per game, shooting 53% from the field. And, you know, we've said it before, but when he's honored in this way on a national level, it's worth saying again, I do not think Memphis is better off that James Wiseman quit the team. I've heard some people try to make that argument. It's nonsense. Like, James Wiseman, when he played, was you know, maybe the best college basketball player in the country. Like, we can continue to talk about he quit the team because that's a fact. He did quit the team. It doesn't mean that he wasn't awesome while he was on the team. He had the highest player efficiency rating in the country in those three games. I don't think Memphis is better off that James Wiseman quit the team. I'm not sure James Wiseman's better off that he quit the team. I think James Wiseman will be fine no matter what, but I don't know. Like, some people have acted like, well, of course he quit the team, you know? Like, why wouldn't you? Well, I could give you a whole bunch of reasons why you wouldn't. It's why nobody had ever done it before in the way that he did it. You know, be a healthy, projected top five pick who quits a team midseason to focus on the NBA draft. That's what he did, and there's no other example of anybody else doing that. Like, Anthony Edwards isn't quitting his team. You know, Obi Toppin isn't quitting his team. Other projected lottery picks. Like, James Wiseman did something that people don't normally do. So I'm not certain that I would have done it if I were James Wiseman. In fact, I know I wouldn't have done it if I were James Wiseman. But that also, don't ever get it twisted, it doesn't mean he's destined for failure. He's still going to be a top five pick and have more money than all of us. Well, he probably has more money than all of us right now. So I don't think Memphis is better off without James Wiseman. I don't think James Wiseman is better off without Memphis, necessarily. What I do think is it's possible that Precious Achiuwa is better off without James Wiseman because he has become the focal point of everything and he has flourished in that role. It's a little bit like when you'd watch Duke last season. Everything was about Zion Williamson when Zion was playing. But when Zion got hurt and missed five games, RJ Barrett looked like the best player in the country. And so if James Wiseman were playing, and when James Wiseman did play, everything was about James Wiseman. He was undeniably the most talented and best player on the Memphis team. But what we've learned in the subsequent weeks is that even with James Wiseman no longer a part of anything, Memphis still has one of the best freshmen and, yes, one of the best players in the country. What I'd say about Duke last season is when Zion Williamson plays, Duke's got the best player in the country. And when Zion Williamson doesn't play, Duke probably still has the best player in the country, RJ Barrett. You could make the argument for John Morant or some other people, but it was at least reasonable based on the numbers to say even when Zion's not involved, Duke still has one of the best players in the country. You can say something similar about Memphis. When Memphis had James Wiseman, Memphis might have had the best player in the country. Now that Memphis no longer has James Wiseman, it doesn't have the best player in the country, but it still got one of the best players in the country. And that honor today from the United States Basketball Writers Association is the latest bit of evidence.
Story number three.
Obviously today, because this is the way it works now, people started publishing their way too early college football rankings. You can see them at ESPN, CBS Sports, SI, and Memphis is in the top 25 everywhere. Number 15 at USA Today, number 19 at CBS, number 21 at ESPN. So I can't promise you where the Memphis football program is going to go under Ryan Silverfield, but where I can promise you is that it's going to start nationally ranked next season because DeMonte Coxey is back, Brady White's back, because there's enough weapons on the offensive side of the ball that just makes it hard to imagine Memphis not scoring at an elite level once again and stacking wins one after another. It looks like the best group of five teams, depending on your rankings, are going to be Memphis, Cincinnati, so we could come down to that thing again next season, but don't ever forget, even though Memphis today was ranked in the AP poll higher than it's ever been ranked in a final AP poll, Memphis did not start this past season ranked. They were in the others receiving votes. So they were off the radar for a little while and then got ranked and stayed ranked. Memphis is going to start on the radar next season. They're going to be preseason top 25, AP poll, coaches poll, and in everybody's rankings. If you want to go see Dennis Dodds, you can find them at CBSSports.com.
Story number four.
Zion Williamson created headlines last night, and it's not because he returned to the court, although that should come soon. It's because he appeared to doze off on the bench during the Pelicans' win in Detroit. Like, final minutes, tight game, and Zion can't hold his eyes open. How bad of a look, if at all, Brad Carson, is that for Zion Williamson?
It's a bad look. I mean, it's a bad look. Although, here's where, as a human, I want to, you know, sympathize with him a little bit, because the dude hasn't been playing for a while. He's just like, when do I get to play? You know, so maybe that's part of it.
Or, you know what, maybe he's just tired. I will say
he was just doze off like in church.
I will say that he's been getting mocked today for falling asleep at a basketball game. And by the way, you will get mocked if you're on the bench of an NBA team and you fall asleep, which it appears that he did. Like the mocking will come, it goes hand in hand with that. I will say, I too have fallen asleep at a basketball game.
Wow, really? What was? Can I ask what the game was? I probably shouldn't ask.
You can ask.
Okay, what was the game, Gary?
It was a Final Four game.
Oh, my God. That's a tough one to fall asleep at.
I fell asleep at a Final Four game one year. But, you know, because, like,
you better not do that anymore. They got a lot of cameras around you now.
I know, but, like, here's the thing. Like, I wasn't covering that particular game. It was the first game. I wasn't writing about that particular game.
Yeah.
And so, I wasn't focused.
Sure.
And, you know, it's the Final Four, so you can imagine how the night prior was, right? You know,
we're
out Friday night till the sun's coming up. And then you got to be up early on Saturday to do some, you know, television stuff.
Right.
I didn't sleep much. And I found myself sitting courtside at the Final Four.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to just doze off. In this particular game, Syracuse was at the Final Four. And Syracuse was playing in the next game, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting with Mike Hopkins, who was Jim Boeheim's lead assistant and is now the head coach at Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Syracuse had some seats reserved on press row to, you know, to scout, to watch whatever game was going on. And so Mike Hopkins was sitting right next to me. So it's one thing if I doze off, like, next to Greg Doyle or Andy Katz. Like, who cares? but, like, I dozed off, like, right in front of, you know, the guy who was going to go on to be a Pac-12 head coach. Mm-hmm. And so he never said anything about it.
Sure.
But I felt embarrassed. Like, oh my, like, what kind of, how much of a clown do I look like falling asleep at the Final Four on press row? It wasn't like I laid my head down and went to sleep for 17 minutes.
Right.
I just dozed. I just, you know.
Quick close of the eyes, yeah.
Yeah, your eyes close, and then your head falls forward, and boom, you snap back up.
You're back up, right.
Yeah, I did exactly what Zion did.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw Zion last night, it reminded me of me at the Final Four. And that is probably the only thing Zion and I have in common.
Question is, what is your reaction if you're Zion Williamson and you're scrolling Twitter, or who's the first person that tells you, yo, man, like, I don't know if you know this or not, but they just caught you sleeping.
I mean, you're embarrassed. I mean, what you probably say is, yo, I wasn't sleeping. I just closed my eyes for a second.
Yeah, you know? Right. Probably, you blow it off.
You probably try to diminish it, and then you...
I just close my eyes, you know, like I got, you know, got contact lenses or, yeah.
I mean, if you're Zion, and I'm sure he knows this now, you have to know that anytime you're in public, there's a camera on you. Anytime you're in public, there's a camera.
It has to be in the back of your mind, right?
You have to be aware of everything. Mm. I mean, it could be something as simple as picking your nose or something.
I saw Orgeron picking his nose last night on camera.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to be aware. Yeah. Like, if you're Zion Williamson or Ed Orgeron or anybody else like that.
It's a public job, yeah.
It's a very public job.
And the face of the public job, right?
It's a little bit like what they tell us in studio. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have that mic on, just be careful. Because you never know when somebody's going to turn it on when you didn't think it was on.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't know. Like, if
going to break and stuff, like that little quick second there, here and there, yeah.
Hey, if you have a mic on you, don't say anything that could get you in trouble if somebody else heard it.
Right.
Because there's always a chance somebody else will hear it, even if you don't think anybody else is going to hear it. And like Zion, again, I'm sure he knows that, but if not, he needs to learn it. There's always going to be a camera on you, so keep your eyes wide open. Jeff Calkins up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.